Welcome to the ABCs today. Welcome to the ABCs of Home Organization, the podcast that simplifies home management, one letter and habit at a time. I'm your host, Stephanie King, your go-to gal for all things decluttering and home organizing. Thank you so much for joining me. This podcast is all about breaking down home organization into bite-sized, doable habits. Inspired by my book, ABCs of Home Organization, each episode gives you quick, actionable steps to clear the clutter, build routines that stick, and turn your space into a home that empowers you. Whether your home feels like chaos or you just want a little refresh, you're in the right place. We're here to simplify your world, elevate your mindset, and give you back your time so you can focus on what really lights you up. New episodes drop every Wednesday at 6 a.m., perfect for that morning coffee or commute. Hit play, subscribe, and let's get this transformation started. Your beautifully organized life starts now. Hey, 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 and welcome to the ABCs of Home Organization. I am your host, Stephanie, and today we are delving into the letter O. O is for organizing physical clutter to stop the mental clutter. Physical clutter can increase levels of stress, anxiety, and even depression. Keep spaces clear to help reduce mental stressors. So before we delve into O, and we are going to talk all about the mental today, I've just been processing when life kind of throws you a curveball and like, what is the meaning of everything? Like, what is the point? My house is organized or my house is not organized. Does that matter in the scheme of life? Does it matter if it looks good? Who defines good? My definition of good, your definition of good. I've been sitting with it today of just people are what matter in this world. And it's the people that make my life here on earth worth it. And it doesn't matter if a spoon is left out or if I don't put my shoes away. And then as I sat with that, though, I came to the realization that you have these organizing systems in place so that when life does throw you a curveball, catastrophe happens, whatever it is, you're able to let go and just go into survival mode until you're able to pull through that and then revert back to living life and organizing and resetting and clearing. And if you have these organizational systems in place, it's not so much of an uphill battle when you get through the darkness, when you come through to the light, when you're past whatever survival mental mode you were in. And so it's another check mark in the why do I need to organize box helps you through the curveballs of life. So with that being said, I am on a curve and doing this podcast is going to take all of the mental energy that I have. So maybe it is apropos that we are going to discuss mental clutter and physical clutter today. So as organizers, we always say that our mental clutter is reflected in our physical clutter and the physical clutter is reflected in our mental clutter. And so if life is becoming stressful and our brain is just overwhelmed, generally, most likely, if you took a look around our homes, clutter would build up. And vice versa. If our house is surrounded in clutter, most likely your brain also has a lot of clutter inside of it. And so today we're just going to explore how clearing your mind, and I'm going to give you different ways to do that, can then lead to you having more motivation and more ability to want to clear your physical space. So today is going to be all about how to stop the mental clutter. Because let's be honest, a cluttered space sometimes feel like having 37 tabs open in our brain. And so is it a wonder that we feel scattered? It's like, where do we get to the next and the next and the next? And where was that one? And I was looking for this. And what is that? And so it's going to be our goal today to help you lessen those tabs and close a few and find different tips and tricks, techniques, et cetera, that maybe we can discuss that you'll like. And just take what resonates. Don't use it all. And if you have any suggestions, feel free to let me know through our Facebook group as well and ABCs of Home Organization community. And I'd love to hear. So the first thing I want to touch base on is productivity and multitasking. So I grew up with multitasking was the end all be all. and it was amazing and everyone needed to do it. And now apparently though, studies have come out that state multitasking actually causes your productivity levels to decrease by 20 and up to 40%, which is huge if you think about it. And so when I heard this, it just made me more aware of how I act and get through my tasks, and it made me start paying attention. And sure enough, I realized as I was jumping task to task, and I don't think I accomplished any of them, maybe 60% of each of them. And I also, maybe about 2-3 years ago, I had like these big tasks, right? Like writing a book, taking this specific course, which was a year long, creating a course, etc. And initially it was like, okay, my Tuesday is going to be working on the baby book. And then the Thursday is going to be the fantasy book. And then the Saturday morning is going to be the course. And I was like going crazy. I was so stressed. I was overwhelmed. I was not able to efficiently give my attention to any of the tasks because I was so stressed about having to complete the other tasks. And I was just like, I'm done. That's it. No more. I'm not going to do it. And I just made my list of the priority. I wanted to do these big tasks. And I started knocking them off one at a time and not worrying about it as number 2, 3, 4, 5. And let me tell you, that was a game changer in the life of Steph. Third person, it's that important. And I was just able to create things. So we were able to accomplish the course, which was organizing and preparing for baby, designed for first-time mamas. I was able to write the ABCs of Home Organization book, which also allowed me to take thousands of photos of my nephews to get the perfect 26 letters for the book. And then also I created 7 different journals, from moon journals to gratitude journals to a task tracker for organizing clients. And then I created various how-to PDFs that I sell on my website. And so it's just one task after the other, lessens the anxiety. So do not multitask. Choose one task, focus on that, and then move to the next. And a lot of times people either want their hardest task out of the way first, and so they'll do that, or they do an easy one, create that momentum, get the positivity going of, I can do this, I'm gonna do this. And either way, whatever works for you best, and just go through your list. And along very similar lines, use your brain for thinking and not remembering. AKA, I want you to write down lists, I want you to utilize calendars, I want you to use your phone or your computer to send you these reminders of life. If I can't sleep, and things are rocking through my brain over and over and over from one to the next, I will either grab my pad and paper that's in my bedside table drawer, or I'll grab my phone and make a new note, and I just brain dump. I release everything onto paper and or phone to get it out of my brain, and then I sleep like a baby. So write everything down. Also a huge fan of morning pages, again, just jumping. But morning pages, I did this for quite a bit of time, especially in my initial transition to trying to figure out the me inside of me of what I want, need, desire out of life. And what you do is you just wake up in the morning, of course, that's always, always a good thing. But grab a piece of paper, notepad, and just start brain dumping. And you just let everything in your brain out. You don't try to control how you write. You don't care about grammar. You're just letting it leave your brain and putting it on paper. And don't read it. This is not meant for you to read. It's not meant for a stranger or a loved one to read. It is literally meant for everything to get out of your brain. And then I always would keep a side journal. And if I had like an action item where it was, you know, I forgot about something or I had to do something, I would write that on that form. So you are aware of what you're writing, but it's literally just let everything out of your brain. And this helps you actually tone your ideas and focus on what you need, because you're getting out all the excess, all the gibberish that's flowing in our brains constantly, constantly, constantly. Just let it out. And this also works. I tell my friend all the time, she's a nurse, and she loves to just come home and then chat with her mom about her day. And I was like, you don't need a person. You can either A, write it down, like I just mentioned, the morning pages. You can talk out loud. So if you're driving home, just talk in the car, pretend you're talking to yourself, a friend, nobody. It's literally the brain releasing it is the key, however mode you do that in. So try to get it out of your brain. And that will just help bring clarity into your life. And then also realize that decluttering your home is work. Even for me, if I reset my house, it's not like I have joy and bliss as I'm doing that. Like the end result potentially brings me that bliss, but it's work. You're doing activities that you may not choose to do because of the activity themselves. It's one of those investments. You're doing it for the end result and because you know that your future self will thank you. And we love, love loving on our future selves. And then also, I love counting backwards. So if that alarm went off in the evening for you to reset your house and you're like, oh, and you start groaning and you're not wanting to do it, count back. So just do the 3, 2, 1, and then go, blast off, organizing time, whatever words come to mind for you. But our brains have been conditioned since childhood for countdowns. And so rockets, 3, 2, 1, take off. Any race you've ever done, even in elementary school, 3, 2, 1, go. And so you can start at 3, you can start at 5. I would not recommend 10. That takes you a really long time to get to the 1 or 0. But it's amazing. And you'll see that you're able to jump up and go. And then you're also training and conditioning yourself for the countdown. So I would only use it when you absolutely have to or when you know that you will follow it. And then I want to just delve slightly into hoarding and chronic disorganization versus situational disorganization. And I am giving a presentation on this to NAPO Houston May 20th. And so it is all fresh in my brain. But hoarding, people are familiar with, and that is like the show Hoarders. And it is when the extreme of it, you walk into a house, you have to turn sideways. It's very difficult to maneuver. Your exits are most likely blocked, except for one. You have the bed most likely 60 to 80% covered and just enough room possibly for a sideways body. Your shower possibly doesn't work. A lot of your kitchen appliances don't work. Your smoke detectors definitely most likely don't have active batteries in them. And then you potentially even have a rodent infestation, definitely roaches if you're in Texas, and potentially other animal things in the house. And hoarding, and this is very general differences, but your hoarding is most likely an emotional attachment to the things that are the possessions in the house that they're not able to let go of items because of that emotional attachment. While your chronic disorganization can be just as extreme, it can look just exactly like hoarding, exactly the same, but the reason for the hoarding is psychological aspects. And so hoarding is actually considered a disorder. It was added to the DSM-5 back in 2013. And so much information over the last 12 years has learned about hoarding and the difficulty that clients have in discarding or parting with possessions, regardless of any actual value associated with that or that the non-hoarder sees associated with those items. And you have the chronic disorganization, which is essentially a persistent pattern of disorganization over time that undermines their quality of life. And so the most common aspect of this is someone with ADHD and how it interferes with daily life, with goals. It's persistent. It never seems to leave, no matter how often the client tries to self-organize or get themselves under control. They can't. They feel hopeless. They don't know where to start. They try everyone's methods. It never works. And it's often rooted in emotional, neurological, or psychological roots. And so these are the people that still may have difficulty parting with things or letting things go. But truly the reason for the clutter is that they, one, most likely need to see the items. So you either have those who want to see everything and clear bins are the best, labels are the best, or you have those that want it hidden. They don't want to actually see the clutter. And most likely your chronic disorganized people are those that need the visual reminders and clues everywhere. And so they're like, I have to do this car registration. I'm going to leave it out. And to their way of thinking, that's the reminder that they need in order to get that car organization done. But it'll just pile up amongst the other piles and they don't ever see it again. And then it gets lost in the chaos of the things. And that just goes, that's like one little instance, but multiply it by 100-fold. And so if this is you, if this makes sense to you and you're often struggling with time management or losing papers, losing keys, you have so many interests, you start buying and buying and buying because you're going to do this one, you know, start painting. But then either A, you never even start that first painting, or B, you start it, but you never finish that first painting, but you have all these supplies for it, and you have all these supplies for multiple hobbies. You potentially are chronically disorganized. And so, as I mentioned briefly earlier, it could be neurological. It could be you have ADHD, you have mental health issues, you suffer from depression or anxiety disorder. And then you also might have addictive tendencies, compulsive saving, and or drug or alcohol. I'm reading from my notes if you can't tell. And then possible aging issues. So if you have physical difficulties, medications, or cognitive problems, that is also a possible reason for it. And then you might also be huge on procrastination and you just put things off, put things on, or you are easily distracted. It's very difficult for you to make decisions. And so these papers just pile up, clutter piles up, because as somewhere on this podcast we've mentioned, clutter is just a decision that has not been made yet. And so when you have thousands of decisions upon thousands of decisions that do not get made, clutter piles up. And then the last big one on chronic disorganization is perfectionism. A lot of my clients, they don't want to start until they have the exact plan made out and it's going to be perfect. And when we work together, I try to just convince them that we're going to start and we can always change it and it doesn't have to be perfect, because done is good enough. We always want to just get a task done and then tweak it into more fitting ourselves, or if we have to change it, if something doesn't work, it's easier to change 2% of it than to have to do 100% of it, right? And then the last little bit is just, I find that my clients take on the identity of everything we just listed, and they basically tell themselves, I can't do it. They have a false belief of having the characteristics of a certain identity type means that they embody everything about that identity type and that they can't overcome it. And so hear me now, that is not true. You can do anything you set your mind to. And anyone that has hoarding disorder or is chronically disorganized, they too can overcome it. You just have to have a system that's created exactly for your brain. And so if you do struggle with either of these, I do recommend you hire a professional organizer. You do not have to hire me. Google NAPO, N-A-P-O, and your zip code, and find a local organizer. But if you experience the hoarding and or chronic disorganization, you do need an outside person that can help you figure out your habits and how your brain works and what it needs, if you need to see things or labels or et cetera. And so someone that is trained in this and has learned this style will be able to help you more so than you trying to do another self-help thing and or try to follow my very general guidelines on how to do this. And then the last, situational disorganization, is just an event that happened in life that causes disorganization and clutter to build up. So if you got fired from a job or quit a job, you moved, you joined households or broke up a household, lost a child or a spouse, or someone moved away, if you had a very big health challenge, things like that, something happens and it completely throws off your entire life and you just start slowly building up clutter here, and put stuff in that room, and next thing you know, you can't even close that door. So you move on to a second bedroom or a third closet, and next thing you know, it's been 5 years, 10 years, 20, 30 years, and your entire house is showing the effects of that one event that happened. And so, no time like today. I don't know who says it, but it's, when is the best time to start? 10 years ago. When is the next best time to start? Today. So just start today. Start with a drawer, start with a closet, start with one area that you feel you could do and just put hands on things. And the awesome, great thing about if you've avoided a space for 5 years, 10 years, most likely you have grown as a person and you might not even need the stuff that's in that space. So if you put kids' stuff in a room because you weren't sure if you're going to have kids again and you're not having any more children, all that baby stuff can be sold or just left and donated. And if you outgrew, you know, a clothing style, it's been 5, 10, I mean, it might come back or it might already be back, who knows, but you can most likely get rid of that, whether you've changed sizes or just style, you can get rid of things. And I do, and even paper. Oh, sorry. I love when clients are like, I haven't been in that box in 14 years, because I'm like, we can probably get rid of 90% of what's in that box. And it makes the decisions easier because you're distanced by time. So you're not as emotionally connected. And so it is a lot easier, something that hasn't been looked at in a very long time. And so one technique that I want to share with you today before I leave you is body doubling. And this has become popular with those with ADHD. But essentially what it means is just you have someone present in the room, and the hope is that their presence will enhance your motivation, your focus, your efficiency, and it'll help you just kind of complete your tasks by them being there. And they don't have to do anything, say anything. It could literally just be physical presence. They could be on their phone. But the fact that they're there is kind of the very physical in your face reminder that, hey, you need to be finishing this task or that task. Stay focused. And it's like if you start to get up, I mean, you can ask them, hey, can you just nudge me to be back on task? Or if you find yourself running from task to task, it's like the nudge. And so I find that I do this often with my clients. I'm more guiding them, but I feel that my presence being there is the accountability partner. It's the help that they need just to actually get a task. Because if I'm not there, there's no way they will spend 4 hours organizing their house. I can guarantee you that not a single one of my clients who have told me they have ADHD would spend 4 hours on this. And so by me being there, they can. And they may need a break an hour in, 2 hours in for about 10, 15 minutes to just get their minds away and reset, which is also another option. It's similar to the Pomodoro technique, which is basically you spend 25 minutes on one task, you take a 5 minute break, and then you do another 25 minutes, 5 minute break. But once you complete the 4 rounds, you then, which is about 2 hours, I think, you then take a 15 to 30 minute break. And so this is allowing you to create one small tasks, which are oftentimes easier for you to accomplish. And so one small task after another small task after another small task, just break down all the tasks into small tasks that would take you that 25 minutes or less even. And it will help you accomplish more of your goals because they are broken down into smaller tasks and they won't seem as insurmountable. And so you'll be able to accomplish more of the tasks and keep going because, again, building that momentum, which we all love to do. My last suggestion for you is going to be to name the zone and claim the space. So, whatever area you start organizing, or if you're doing multiple ones, then you'll have multiple names. But I want you to give each area a personality or like an identity. So, the cozy reading nook or my Zen landing pad. And this will help you emotionally connect your brain to that assigned purpose. And I think it's awesome and wonderful. And it will give you more incentive because you're treating this cozy reading nook as a friend, a future friend. And you're more inclined to hang out with that friend, decluttering and organizing and turning it into your ideal dream best friend ever, also known as the cozy reading nook. And so just have fun with it. It doesn't have to be work, work, work. This is a lifetime commitment, and there is no timeline, though, on how much you have to accomplish and how fast. And so it doesn't matter your pace that you're decluttering and organizing, it only matters that you choose to do it and then continue to do it. And just know that the longer you do it, the more you'll start to see your muscles and your mind adapting. And so eventually, you'll automatically just put that pen back in the pen container or your shoes on the shoe rack, and you won't even consciously have to think, oh, where does this go? Or I have to do this. You just do it. And your body is just going to take you there because you're going to train it as you're doing this. And it's just such a beautiful feeling when your mind stops having to make decisions because we know that we already have thousands of other decisions we have to make. And so let's not make more decisions in our homes. Alrighty, so thank you so much for listening to O. O is all about organizing the mental clutter so you don't have physical clutter. Thank you so much for joining me, and please remember that getting organized is not about perfection. It's about creating a space that empowers you and makes your life easier. If you found today's episode helpful, please subscribe, share it with a friend, or leave a review. Also, join our Facebook group, ABCs of Home Organization Community, and post pictures or ask questions to tell us how your organizing journey is going. And be on the lookout for my new website coming soon. We're just in the final touches, but solsticeliving.com. That's Soul. And I will be back with more actionable tips to help you transform your space and your life. Until next time, happy organizing.